This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
But first, our top story. Federal investigators looking into a close call this morning at Midway Airport involving a Southwest Airlines flight and a business jet. WBBM's Jim Goodis is live at the anchor desk with what we know. Jim.
Lisa, the Federal Aviation Administration says a Flexjet business plane crossed a runway without authorization as Southwest Airlines Flight 2504 from Omaha was cleared to land there. In this audio from liveatc.net, the Flexjet pilot appears to misunderstand instructions from traffic control.
Cross the 23 center, Flexjet 560.
Flexjet 560 negative. Cross runway 31 left. Hold short runway 31 center.
Dan Ronan is a licensed pilot and a transportation reporter for CBS affiliate WTOP in Washington.
It appears as though the pilot may have been confused in terms of his runway instructions. He appears to not quite understand what the controller said.
Southwest Airlines says its pilot pulled up to avoid the Flexjet plane and later landed safely at Midway. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating. Live at the anchor desk, Jim Goodis, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Thank you, Jim. A worker dead, another hospitalized after being electrocuted on the west side this morning.
The incident happened on a construction lift, a bucket near Ogden and Homan. Sources tell WBBM the workers were with a private company. They were not with a public utility or city workers. One worker was transported to Stroger Hospital, where they were pronounced dead. The other worker was transported to Mount Sinai Hospital in serious to critical condition. Terry Keschner, 105.9 WBBM.
The Lake County, Indiana Sheriff's Office investigating a head-on collision early this morning that left a Munster police officer dead.
The off-duty officer was driving his pickup north on U.S. 41. A semi was driving south. It was about 1 a.m. It's unclear which driver crossed the line, but the collision left Officer Ryan Perez dead. He recently transferred to Munster from Oak Forest. He was 31 years old. The Sheriff's Office says crash investigators are looking at several factors without being specific. Mike Krauser, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
In Chicago, despite pressure from some aldermen, Mayor Johnson says he's not backing down from his proposed $830 million bond issue. It's up for a vote tomorrow, but he is offering more transparency.
Mayor Johnson tells reporters the $830 million in borrowing is a needed investment for the people of Chicago, plain and simple.
This funding is needed to maintain the critical public safety and public infrastructure systems that our residents rely upon. And they rely upon those type of investments every day.
But some alderpersons complain that the provisions make it sound as if the money could be used for things other than infrastructure. City Chief Financial Officer Jill Jaworski says that's a misconception that is being cleared up.
The language changes are to indicate that those funds could only be used for capital, and that they would be restricted only to the types of grants and things like that. They're being referred to will be restricted only to the amount of money that's allocable to the aldermanic menu.
A vote on this last week was delayed by a parliamentary maneuver. Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A dozen public work employees in South Suburban Midlothian are on strike today amid contract issues and unfair labor practices.
The strike comes after federal mediation sessions failed to produce a new contract. According to Local 150 of the International Union of Operating Engineers, union members walked out Sunday to protest an unfair labor practice charge and to demand a fair and equitable contract. The union says the village threatened to fire them if they walked out, but that the strike is not in violation of state labor law or the bargaining agreement with the village. The next mediation session is scheduled for March 3rd. Carolina Garibe, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Sign meant to welcome visitors to Rockford is now stirring debate at City Hall.
Rockford's colorful All People Are Welcome sign is on East State Street and Interstate 90 and has been standing since 2019. But some worry it sends the wrong message. Republican 3rd Ward Alderman Chad Thunberg says some of his constituents question whether it makes Rockford a sanctuary city.
From out of this community, out of this country, or has resided in this community for 50 years, grew up in this community. My constituents' number one issue, bar none, is crime.
Activists packed Monday's council meeting defending the sign as a symbol of the city's immigrant roots. 12th Ward Democratic Alderman
it
Gina Meeks.
It makes me happy. It's bright. And it says words that I love to see because I believe that to my core, that we want to welcome everybody.
Sarah Herrera, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Researchers at Lurie Children's Hospital shining a light on the mental health challenges facing many of them following the pandemic.
We saw that about half of youth were experiencing one or more mental health symptoms that was getting worse.
Dr. Marie Heffernan is one of the study's lead researchers. She says more than 4,000 parents responded to their online survey seeking information about the mental health of children ages 2 to 17.
We found that some of the most common symptoms were things like being easily frustrated, being in a bad mood, or having tantrums or outbursts.
Heffernan says their Voices of Child Health report reflects what national studies are showing.
From those data, we have not yet seen returns to pre-pandemic mental health levels for youth.
Her advice to parents, talk to your children openly about mental health, and if needed, consult a doctor or social worker to help. Mai Martinez, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Time for sports, and here is 670. The score is Mike Esposito.
Lisa, good afternoon. Spring-like weather today. Spring baseball down in Arizona for both Chicago teams. Fifth inning, Arizona leading the Cubs 2-1. Carson Kelly, new Cubs backup catcher, a solo home run there. Jameson Taillon started for the Cubs. One run over two innings with two strikeouts. He gave up a solo shot to Geraldo Perdomo of the Diamondbacks. The White Sox trail Colorado 2-0. Familiar face. Chris Bryant with a two-run homer for the Rockies. Jacob Martin, two scoreless innings in the start for the White Sox. To football now. The NFL season is never really over. Today, the league's decision makers arrived in Indianapolis for the scouting combine, and Rick Gregg files this report.
It's time to augment the roster, GM Ryan Poles, through free agency, which starts on March 12th, and the draft in late April.
We're starting to put that puzzle piece together, but what I like about really the pairing so far of free agency and the draft is I do believe that the supply of players are matching our needs, so there's going to be good opportunities.
Translation, there is talent available on both the offensive and defensive lines, and there are running backs to be had, too. The question Poles and his staff must answer is when to invest their capital to avoid overlap at any given position. They have to pick the right guys, too, which is where the combine and its off-field measurements and interviews play a role. Covering the Bears, Rick Gregg, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
College basketball this evening, 6 o'clock tip in Minnesota. Northwestern up there. Northern Illinois plays at Miami of Ohio. Later tonight, the Illini hosting Iowa at the State Farm Center. Bulls off tonight. Tomorrow night, the Clippers are in town. They beat Philly by 32 last night, and the Blackhawks skate in Utah this evening. With sports at 16 and 46, I'm 670. The score is Mike Esposito on News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Well, it's Punchki season, and fans of the Polish treat are placing their orders ahead of Fat Tuesday next week. However, as WBBM's Nancy Hardy tells us, it may take a bigger bite out of your wallet this year.
Oak Mill Bakery has 28 flavors of Punchki, ranging in price from $2.95 for mini versions to $6.95 for new signature options, such as Ambrosia or Pear Charlotte. Office manager Susan Sepulveda says they did not raise prices this year.
With the egg prices being outrageous, we don't want to put that on to our customers. So thankfully, we haven't had to raise prices currently.
At Benison's Bakery in Evansville, Evanston, Supervisor Jennifer Fournier says their owner did raise prices last month after their egg costs more than doubled.
Jory is very price sensitive, and also keeping in mind of that this is hitting people's pocketbooks. So we don't raise them as high as we probably could.
Both bakeries expect long lines on Fat Tuesday and encourage ordering online. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
The Wizarding World of Harry Potter approaching the Windy City. The Harry Potter Shop Chicago will open its magical doors on April 10th at Michigan and Huron. Shoppers will be able to explore a butter bar, butter beer bar, candy offerings, and Chicago-specific merchandise. Police looking for a hit-and-run driver after a woman was critically injured on the west side last night.
Chicago police say it happened shortly before 8 p.m. in North Austin. A 68-year-old woman was crossing the street at North and Lotus Avenues when she was hit by a westbound light-colored sedan. The car drove off, and the woman was taken to the hospital in critical condition with head trauma and broken legs. Police are looking for the driver of the car, which is described as possibly a gray Hyundai Sonata with a model year between 2004 and 2006. Anyone with information is asked to call police. Carolina Garibay, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A man has died after a domestic-related shooting in suburban Mount Prospect.
After the shooting in the parking garage of a condo building on Northwest Highway near Meadows Park, police said a man was in critical condition. He has since died. The medical examiner has identified him as 53-year-old Michael Work of Shorewood, Wisconsin. Police describe him as the offender in the shooting that wounded a 63-year-old woman, who they say was alert and talking as paramedics took both to the hospital at around 5 in the afternoon. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.